and say a few things about it. Of course, these are the words of David. You know, the Psalms are songs. They're songs. There's a particular church in the Presbyterians that they won't sing nothing but songs. They sing the psaltery. They won't sing from anything else besides the psaltery, they call it. And you can find almost all of the psalms put to music. But this here, you know, our Lord, we find what David said, verse 5, "Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done." You know, God has done many, many, many wonderful works. And David, you know, is talking about his faith, his experience, which he lived and felt. And he expressed these things in these psalms, in these songs. But they really about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you look down there in verse 6 through 10, those are the very words of Christ himself. And Paul attributed them to the Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 10. He attributed every verse, word by word. This was in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. But these words is also the experience of every believer. Our union with the Lord Jesus Christ is such a wonderful thing that it's impossible to speak of Christ and not speak of the great and wonderful things that he's done for us. It's impossible to think of him and not think of what he's done. Many are his wonderful works. And then verse 1 says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry." You know, one of the hardest things for us to do, for anybody to do, I believe, is to wait on the Lord. To wait on the Lord. And David said, "I waited patiently." And what he's saying is I waited. Now it is hard. That's a very difficult thing, to wait on the Lord. And David, he wanted wisdom. He waited on God for wisdom, direction, provision, for strength. And the Lord gives all these things in his own time. In his own time. And none of us have ever, I should just say me, I've never felt strong in myself. Never. But then when we, whatever God gives us, he gives us in his own time. And so therefore we ought to willingly wait patiently on the Lord. Wait on him. He'll give us what we need in his time. And then he said, "He inclined unto me and heard my cry." That word inclined means that he bent over. He bent all the way over to hear David's cry. And I tell you, here's another thing. In the Lord's own time, God sends a trial. And when the trial has accomplished what he intended for it to, and what he purposed for it to, then he gives us instructions and we finally get it. When he gets all the glory and all the praise, and when he shuts us up to his grace, David said, "He heard my cry." And it's a marvel, absolute marvel, that God would hear us at all. That's a marvel that God would hear us at all. So the fact that he hears us, it's a wonder, it's a marvel that he hears us all. So why should we ever go impatient and weary with waiting on him? Huh? Oh my, just the fact that he... What a marvel that he would listen to us when we speak. And then look what he says here in verses 2 and 3. "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." Three wonderful things that David says here about Christ redeeming his people, about the work of our Lord Jesus redeeming his people. The first thing is he brought me up out of a horrible, horrible pit. You know, when you can go through the scriptures, I looked up a place today and I'll show it to you in a few minutes. Some of these prisons, and that's where they kept them at. That was a great place to keep prisoners. They had pits. They had pits, and those pits were so deep. And then they're full of mud, full of clay and full of mud. And it's all kinds of corruption. And I tell you, there's no possible way for you to get yourself out of it. Somebody else has to bring you up out of it. And I'll show you that. Now you keep this and look in Jeremiah 38. You know, you want to read about something over here, Jeremiah. I'm going the wrong direction. Jeremiah 38. You read this and about what they did to Jeremiah, putting him in prison, and the kind of prison they put him in, and left him there to die. Left him there to die. One man said, I want you to put him to death, because he prophesied and said that Babylon's going to come and take over this place, and you're going to go to Babylon. And then they took Jeremiah, look in verse 6. Then they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeons of Micaiah, the son of Hamalek, that was in the court of the prison, with cords, let him down with a cord. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. And then look down here. And they went and they took 30 men, down verse 10. Then the king commanded Abimelech to Ebedmelech the Ethiopian, saying, take thee hence 30 men with you, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he died. And listen to how they got him out of there. So Ebedmelech, the man with him, went into the house of the king under the treasury and took them old cast clouts and old rotten rags and let them down by cords under the dungeon. They told him to put them under his arms, and it took 30 people to pull him up out of there. Those old rags and clot things put under his arms. So that's what David said here. He said, this is the work of redemption Christ did for us. You know what the awfulest pit we was in? We was in a pit of sin. And there was no way under God's Son that we could climb up out of that pit of sin. We can't do it. Preachers say all the time, you gotta quit your sinning, you gotta quit your sinning. If I could, I would. But all we, and then we was under the curse of that law. Then God was angry with us. We didn't know God from nothing. And we was down in that pit. Down in that pit. And the scripture says he brought me up. They needed 30 people to get Jeremiah up. All it needs is for Christ to say, bring him up, get him out of there. And they're coming out of there. Huh? They're deep. Oh, we are in so deep. Oh my, pit of sin, no way out. But God, according to his own will and his mercy and grace, came to where we were. And the awful place we were. And he said, you can't come out of there till your debt's paid. What debt? That debt of sin that you owe. That you had when you was born, and it's just been adding up ever since. That debt's got to be paid. Huh? I tell you what, our Lord Jesus Christ said, put it on my account. Huh? He restored our souls. After our debt was paid, lifted us up out of the darkness and set us in the light. Lifted us up from death and gave us life. Gave us out of bondage and gave us freedom. Bless his holy name. And then look what else it says. You remember when I'm talking about a pit. Remember when Joseph was put in that pit? And they said, wait a minute. They said, we can get some money out of him. So they got him up and sold him. But look at the sixth thing he said. Not after he picked me up, got me out of that horrible pit. Look what he said. Now the miry clay set my feet on a rock. He went from the muck and the mire And then when he got you out of there, he set you down on this rock. Well, what is that rock? The Lord Jesus Christ is that rock, of course. Oh my, the scripture says rock, that rock was Christ. Not only did he set my feet upon a rock and establish my going, but he says he established my steps. He set my steps. Huh? Set my feet on that rock. Settle them on that rock. Establish us on that rock. And that rock is immovable. And it's absolute in the Lord Jesus Christ. God provided for us His promise and His blessed Son's atonement. And oh my, that's three absolute. Everything's absolute in the Bible. Believe me. I'm going to give you three absolutes. God's absolutely sovereign. He has no rivals. Man's an absolute sinner. I mean absolutely so. There's not a good spot you can find on him. There's not a spot in his mind, in his heart, in his soul, on his body that you can find anything that make him acceptable to God. And Christ is an absolute Savior. Ain't that right? And a sovereign God chose a bunch of sinners that was absolutely so, and sent an absolute Savior who absolutely saved them from all their sin according to the purpose and will of a sovereign God. Ain't that right? And I tell you what, our salvation is absolute and complete because of Christ. Huh? Yeah, and then here's the third thing. You know, it brought me out of a horrible pit, set my feet on a rock, established my going. And then look what he said. He had put a new song in my mouth. Well, what is this new song? It's a song of praise. Huh? A song of praise to who? Our God. I remember, boy, we used to sing some awful, awful songs. Oh, some awful songs. It's horrible. But oh, when God saved us by His grace and taught us His blessed grace, He put a new song. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory. Huh? Oh, that new song. This new song that He gave us, it comes from the new creation. He made us new creatures in Christ. Oh, that comes out of a new heart. Oh, it's a song comes out of a new heart. The song's established on the covenant of grace. It's new. Everything's new. The song of a new heart. We're singing about a new heaven and a new earth. And this new song, you know what it is? Christ gave it to us when He saved us. Oh, my. And I tell you what, and look what he says. The person who learns that, then he's going to see it. They're going to see what God's done for you. Brought you out of the horrible pit. Set your feet on a rock. Established your goings. Put that song. And you know, when you start singing that song, all the glory to God and all the tribute to everything to God and His glory and His blessed Son, many will see it. And they'll have fear and reverence for God. And you know what they'll do? He said, I won't trust in a God like that. I do. I want to trust in a God like that. Huh? And then look what he said in verse 4. Blessed is the man. That word blessed means happy. Joyful. A happy man. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Oh my. That make the Lord his trust. And then this man who makes the Lord his trust, listen to what he does. He said here, he don't respect the proud. And he don't, nor such as turn aside the lies. These people don't influence him. And all those men that trust makes the man that makes the Lord his trust, he can say like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Huh? It's like Simon Peter says, Thou art the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. To whom shall we go? Huh? And we can say with John when he said, we know we've passed from death unto life. So a believer, God's one of God's elect, one whom Christ died for, he may go through as much trouble as Job did, may be as poor as Lazarus, may think he's like Elijah, the only person left, and getting lonely. He may be bowed down in his heart like David was. But if the man makes the Lord his trust and his refuge, these outward afflictions, they don't move him. They don't move him. Mm-mm. He doesn't have to bow to money, doesn't have to bow to power, doesn't have to cringe before worldlings. And I tell you, when people run after a lie, they say, you go ahead. God's my refuge, my strength, my stay. I trust Him. My trust is in Him. Huh? Who else would we trust? Who else? Huh? And then look what he says there in verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God. O Lord, we sang that song, O Lord, my God, how great thou art. Wonder if they got that out of here. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which you've done, and thy thoughts which to us would, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they're more than could be numbered. You know, if you was to start talking about the wonderful works of God, where would you start? Where would you start? Well, where God started. He started out with creation. He started out saying the earth was out form and void. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God said, let there be a... You know, He said, and it was done. Oh my, what a wonderful work creation is. And I tell you what, you look at creation, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I tell you what, God, you know, He's, what about His works in redemption? His work of redemption. You know, it's a wonder that there was a redemption at all. And it's wonderful that of who it was that redeemed, and it was wonderful who the Redeemer was, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the works of God were purposed by God. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning. And then all of His works are worked in this world by the Holy Spirit. And all of them stand by the merits and righteousness of His blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And His works are wonderful in their variety. You know how many works God does in a day? how varied is His works towards you? Huh? Sometimes, you know, He blesses you, and other times He don't. Sometimes He keeps your mind on Him, and sometimes He don't. And then you look at the variety of how He does things in this world. When he went and performed miracles, one fella was blind. You know how He healed his sight? Put mud in his eye. Spit in the ground, made mud, and stuck it in his eye. Now that sounds like that don't sound good to put mud in a man's eye and tell him to go see. Go wash your face, and when you come back, you won't be blind anymore. Another fella, he just told, would you have your sight? He said, yeah. So it be unto you. Huh? I mean, the way God the Christ did, one lepers, He healed 10 of them, and only one come back. Another leper, He said, now go show yourself to the priest. I mean, everything our Lord done, He done it different. He didn't deal with everybody the same way. And oh, they're wonderful in their fullness, they're wonderful in their unchangeable glory. And then look what it says. There more cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, I wouldn't know how to start. His works are innumerable. Just in my life, How am I going to tell how many times God blessed me? And I say this often and often, and I'll say it again. If God's blessed anybody more than me, I've yet to meet them. I've yet to meet them. And they're innumerable. And they're perfect in order. He sends them just exactly the way they're supposed to be there and what He's supposed to be doing. And it says, and I can't reckon them. If I declare them and speak of them, I don't know how to do it. They're incomprehensible. I can't comprehend them. But now he goes on here. And now this is the Lord Jesus Christ. All these things are about Christ. He redeemed us and the things that He did for us. Now look what happens now. The Lord Jesus Christ said, talking about these numbers and the blessings and the wonderful works. Here's a wonderful work. This is Christ. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears have you opened. Burnt offerings and sin offering hast thou not required. And I tell you what, when you start talking about the wonder work of God, it's Christ that you must have to talk about. Christ you must have to speak about. The sacrifice and offerings that God didn't desire or require were the sacrifices offered under the law. These sacrifices, though they could never, ever put away sin. All the blood of all the goats and all the lambs that's ever been slain since the foundation of the world has never put away one sin. That's why God said, I don't need them, I don't want them. I ain't going to have them, they're not required. And I tell you what, the sacrifices could never please God. Could never satisfy His justice. Never uphold His righteousness. And they was offered from Adam until Christ came. And all they were types and shadows of the Lord Jesus Christ who is to come. The good thing to come. They no longer exist, those sacrifices and offerings. Christ fulfilled them. And that's why He said in the volume of the book of me, then said, I come in the volume of the book, it's written of me. Now what in the world does He mean about the volume of the book? Well, we read that, you know, in Revelation 5, He came and took the book out of the hand of Him that sat on the throne. Now in that book is all of God's work, all of God's purpose, all of God's will. And in that book, and in the Bible, in this book is eternal too. In that book is written of Christ, that He would come, that He'd be a sin offering, that He'd be a lamb slain, that His soul would be made an offering, and He would fulfill all righteousness. He would honor His Father in every possible way that He required. And it said here, our Lord Jesus says, mine ear have you opened. My ear have you opened there in verse 6. You know, we know that when they had a servant or a slave, and he loved his master, and he was allowed to go out free, they'd take him to the doorpost and put a hole in his ear with an awl. And what he would say by that, when you've seen a hole in a person's ear, you found a person that said, I love my master and I don't want to go out. Our Lord Jesus said He had bored His ear. God bored His ear. He was a willing servant, loving servant of God Almighty, His blessed Father. And He said, I delight to do Thy will. Delight to do it. And I tell you what, the volume of the book is Christ our Lord. He fulfilled it, both of them. Any book, the Bible, or the one from Revelations, He fulfilled them. He said, it's written of me. And then look what else it says here. And I delight to do Thy will, O my God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. Oh my. My law, Thy law, Thy word is in my heart. Oh, I delight. I just enjoy. I delight. I rejoice in doing Your will. You know why? Because Him and His Father was one. One. He delighted in doing God's eternal purpose and counsel. And then let me give you five things in closing here. our Lord, here he comes and he declares these five things that our Lord Jesus Christ fully and ably, and Christ declared these things. First of all, he said, I preach righteousness in the great congregation. What great congregation he talking about? All of his elect, all the people that he died for. He preached righteousness, God's righteousness, imputed righteousness through faith in his blessed Son. Then look what else he's did. He done it to the, and I've not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. When I opened my mouth, I told everything I could tell about you. Then he said, I've not hid thy righteousness within my heart. There, in verse 10, he said, I've not hid my righteousness. Then look what, that's the first thing. And then he said, I've declared thy faithfulness. Oh, he said, I've declared how faithful you are. I've declared how faithful you are. We sung that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. God is so faithful. He is faithful to His covenant, faithful to His Word, faithful to His Son, and He is certainly, certainly faithful to His people. Oh, what a blessing thing it is to know I am the Lord and I change not. The gifts of calling of God are without repentance. And oh, look what else he said. Now, not only did he declare God's faithfulness, but he said, I declared thy salvation. I declared how you save sinners. You know, Mr. Spurgeon had a little old 5-point outline, and it works good right here. God's salvation. Salvation's of the Lord. It originated with him. It originated with him. And our Lord Jesus, a surety and Savior, and the Lamb slain from the beginning. And salvation is of the Lord in its execution. Christ came here and suffered. It pleased God to bruise him. Salvation is of the Lord in its application. It pleased God to show us and reveal His Son in us and to give us grace. Huh? And then salvation's of the Lord in His sustaining power. If He gives it to you, He's got to hold it up. He's got to sustain it. We're kept by the power of God through faith. And salvation is of the Lord in its ultimate, ultimate glory. I mean, you know, this ain't going to come to an end one of these days, and we're going to enter into glory with Christ. Then look what else he said. I'm not concealed thy loving kindness. When we find out God speaking about wrath, it's always against sin. Always against sin and idolatry. And when the scripture speaks of God's love, it's always for His people and for sinners that He always give His love to in Christ. And then he said, I've not held back thy truth from the gate congregation. Now how come he didn't hold all these back? When he talks about I have withheld not thy truth, you know the truth is that Christ is the truth. The Son shall make you free, and whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Know ye the truth, and the truth will set you free. And whom the Son sets free, he's free indeed. Sanctify them through thy truth, O Lord. And there ain't no way a man can know God except through Christ. You got to know Christ. You got to know Him. He's the one that tells us about God. I mean, our Lord Jesus Christ, God's power, God's glory, God's majesty. They're seen in the creation. Oh, they're glorious in creation. But you can't see blood and righteousness in creation. The only place you can see salvation and God's glory and all of His attributes is only revealed in Christ. And you know what His chief glory is? I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Show me your glory. He said, this is it. This is it. Our Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, how gracious you are to us, how kind, how pitiful, And I thank you for it. I thank you for your truth. I thank you, Lord, that you came to do your Father's will. And you delighted in doing it, rejoiced in doing it. Oh, Lord. You declared God to us, revealed God to us, made God known to us. And we see Him told out perfectly, perfectly, absolutely so in you. We see all that God is, all that God has done, and all that God will do. We've seen it all accomplished in our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless these dear saints as they go home. Keep them safe. Keep them safe. Give them a good night's rest. And bless their hearts with peace and rest in Christ alone. For we thank you for Him. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that song 51 in the hymn book. That was, we looked at it a minute ago. Let's sing that and then stand together and sing it. Then you're at liberty to go. 51. Praise the Savior.
Ye who know Him, who can tell how much we love Him, let us let us render to Him all we are and have. Jesus is the name that charms us. He from conflict fits and arms us. Nothing moves and nothing harms us while we trust in Him. Trust in Him, ye saints, forever. He is faithful, changing never. Neither force nor guile can sever those He loves from Lord, oh, keep us cleaving to Thyself and still believing till the hour of our receiving promised joys with Thee. Then we shall be where we would be. Then we shall be what we should be. Things that are not known or could be soon shall be.